life and creation. You are the great God. I do believe that you really do love the people of the world. I really do believe that Jesus died for all of our sin to pay for it. I do believe that Stephanie, little Stephanie, has not gone unnoticed from you, but you love her. Heavenly Father, evangelism comes in so many forms, and it's all ushered in and unctioned, as that word was just used, by you, if it is evangelism, if it's not just religion. Father, I pray that you would give Sherry Lou, our sister, just a filling of your spirit in a special way to be able to write out what is on her heart and in her mind that Stephanie needs to know. So it's not overcomplicated. It's not religious, but it just tells her of your love, what you have done for her. And Father, where this lymphoma is a death sentence, earlier than presumed, one way or another, Stephanie will die like all of us. But God, I pray that with this new diagnosis fresh upon her, that it might be that time where, Lord God, all other things, obstructions, things blocking her vision of you and her ears from you would just be tenderly removed by you so she can look up and see the shepherd, Jesus. Father, please. Father, go ahead of our sister in this, in the timing and the wording. And I know that Stephanie knows that Sherry loves her. And I pray that that will have earned the right, that will have earned the respect, that she in her heart and soul can be healed. Father, that's so much more important than the healing from lymphoma that just prolongs death some years. It would be wonderful, Lord, if you would give a way for that to be taken care of and removed from her and healed from her body. But it's her soul, Lord God, that we bow and ask you for. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Aaron, if I could piggyback on it. It was last night. I was on Facebook, and one of Stephanie's friends, with her permission, posted her picture and gave her address and encouraged those who knew her to write her an encouraging note. And I thought, I don't know her well, but I know who she is, I've met her. And I thought, this is an opportunity to write her a little note and say, I'm praying for you, and I would love to work with you to say.
Yeah.
But if anybody else wants to do that, we can get her.
Thank you. Thank you. That's ministry. That's real stuff. Amy.
I have two prayer requests.
Okay.
For Martha, who's not here today, that her knee be healed and recover quickly from her injury.
Martha, we're talking about. Yeah.
And the doctors will be able to figure out exactly what's going on with her.
Okay.
And my other is for my dear friend Jeremiah, who's here visiting with me for the last week, that he find his way back to his family, and that he takes our joy and love of Jesus right along with him.
Father, we bow with this, just fresh in our hearing. Thank you for Martha, Lord, her decades of loving you. Like all of us, her body is breaking down. We can't expect any different in this life, but we're sure looking forward to the next, where there is no more tears, no more pain, no more crying, no more confusion, no more crazy stuff. But Father, while we're here, as we prayed for our sister Elizabeth earlier, Lord, concerning her eyes and the complications there. So we pray for our sister Martha. Father, that if there is something that doctors need to do, that you would direct them perfectly and get it done, that she can get back up and get around. Father, we ask you to be the healer in her body. And for this friend, obviously dear to Amy's heart, Jeremiah, Father, that he recognized the reality of a relationship with Jesus, that you really are there and not just another religious excuse or turn. Father, I don't know details. I don't need to know details. Amy knows some, but you know it all. He needs to find his way back to his family. Lord, you know what that means. We pray that you would fill that out for your glory and that he would take the love of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, back with him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for his friend here that cares enough to speak his name out and pray and have us pray. Just, I ask your blessing in Amy's ministry there. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I talked with my sister Jeanette, and she was telling me my sister member of Clarice and Gavin knows Clarice. And her husband went to the doctor Friday morning, got a clean bill of health. She went shopping Friday afternoon, came home and found him dead in the yard.
So, Father, again, just joining our sisters here that know this couple, ask for your comfort. Father, some clear thinking. That doesn't make human sense to us. Death is our enemy. Death is our enemy. Mean and unretaliating. Thank you for Jesus who won the victory over death. But Father, for us right here, just compassion toward this wife left behind. Father, bring comfort that only you can bring. Father, help her through this time. Bring people along that are good people without ulterior motives or motivation, Lord God, to help her think through this time. Just lost her husband very unexpectedly. Be glorified here in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have an enemy that wants to use these circumstances, all of them, to derail us. That's a subject matter we've been talking about here from Ephesians 6. To teach through the book of Ephesians, hey, it's a fun intellectual and spiritual task, but I don't want it for that. I want it to be practical. And this in chapter 6 is talking about spiritual warfare. I want that to be practical because it's intended to be practical. So I hope we can gain a little bit more ground today. Understanding that there is an enemy that loves to play with us, his intention is murder. His intention is absolutely to nail us one way or another. Hey, the spiritual warfare topic, the subject of spiritual warfare, does not start as a standalone in chapter 6. Okay, that's what we've got to get this in our mind. It begins early on in Ephesians, but it's throughout the scripture. And it's not a battle that Hollywood would make up this, you know, blah, 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 giant, monstrous, fangs dripping blood scene. And it's not like some writers would try to convince us that there's a demon under every rock. It isn't as though every other person's going to be demon-possessed. We've got to figure out how to deal with it. That's not what it is. The spiritual battle is a battle that we need to wake up and recognize is on, and I'm confronted with it on a very regular and daily basis. It's not just in the big war out there. It's in the little skirmish. It is right here, right now. The full armor of God that we're taught about begins at verse 10, clarified here. In verse 14, it starts into the pieces of the armor. Last week, we looked at the belt of truth. So verse 14 again, Ephesians 6, stand firm, therefore. We are told to stand firm several different times here, and we are told to resist because it's coming at us. A whole lot of the battle is in our thinking and in our affections. The first piece of armor, verse 14, therefore stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. And then we come into having put on the breastplate of righteousness next. This belt of truth just a little bit of a nutshell summary from last week. Jesus is the truth. We are clothed in Jesus if we are a believer in him. That gives us good reason to, chapter 4, turn there please, verse 25. If he is the truth and I'm clothed in the truth, 4:25 says, lay aside falsehood, otherwise called lying. Whether it's purposeful or the way I word something gets another point across that I want to communicate rather than the full truth. Lay aside and speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Good reason to lay that aside if I belong to the one who is true. We should purpose in our heart to be honest, truthful, because we are children of God. God who is not a liar, who cannot lie, God who is true. He knows every fragment of dishonesty, not only in what we say, but the motivation as to why we say it or leave it out. He prayed in John 17:17 that we might be sanctified, made holy, set apart in the truth, made different than we otherwise would be. In the truth. And then he declares to the Father, thy word is truth. There's a connection in all of this that I see. His truth should so permeate our being that it comes out in our practice. It's pretty practical. Lay aside the stuff, the falsehood, and speak truth to one another. He who is true has invested himself in us. He has taken up residency in us, and as Colossians 1:27 declares, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, truth is our guard. The practice of the truth helps guard us and guard people around us. That's the first piece of armor. The second piece, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the wording is again a past tense thing. Having done this, the first pieces of armor, first three, having done this, then the next says, now take this up also, and take this, and take this. So having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the wording is important. It gets to the first main part of this righteousness thing, that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He, to stand before the Father, you better be righteous, or you're not going to be standing. He is our righteousness. He is our only hope of standing before God. We are clothed in Christ. Would you go back to Ephesians chapter 1? I want to show you how he words it in a different way. Verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. He paid for my sin. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I am forgiven. Would you please turn to the left, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The he and the him, the first one is God the Father made him, Jesus Christ. 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Something took place on the cross that there isn't a great explanation of at the time. Between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness that overcame the whole place. It was during that time of darkness that Jesus uttered the words to the Father, God, my God, or God of mine, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a separation between the Son and the Father for a period of time where he took on my sin, paying for it, and he was separated because of it and paid an eternal price of that separation For me, it would have been eternal. For him, it was the hours. The payment was made in full. It's called propitiation in your Bible. Three different times that word is used that I'm aware of. Full sacrifice that's fully satisfying for me. Now, verse 21 right here, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That breastplate, that breastpiece, what is that?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to kill him.
Oh, okay. Okay, I want to know. Is God talking here? No. He can speak through a device, probably, but thank you. Yeah, no problem. Forgiven, not a problem. I'm just distracted. Okay. We become the righteousness of God. That gives us... Yeah, he's trying. Thank you. Sorry about that. I understand that. We become what we weren't before, which gives us a standing before our God. We become the righteousness of God because of Jesus in us. Please back up to the book of Romans. First chapter. Poor Ray, I feel for him. I really do. Chapter 1, verse 17. No, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Sherry Lee wants to declare to her dear friend Stephanie. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the rest of us, humanity. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's like this, there's an introduction and then it builds. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. For it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Look at chapter 3 of Romans. Verse 19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, that's the law of Moses, it speaks to those who are under the law. That every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. There isn't righteousness to be attained by just being a good boy and a good girl. Not happening. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They spoke about this. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. He is my righteousness. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed publicly as a propitiation, satisfying sacrifice, complete sacrifice, in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. They are forgiven. They are cleansed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, it's demonstrated, I believe, in those who take on that gospel, who believe in him. The demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I just finished verse 26. Romans 3. Where is the boasting then? Oh, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified, that's declared righteous by God, by faith apart from the works of the law. Okay, we take on his righteousness. I would like you to turn, please, to 1 John, near the end of your book, just a tiny bit before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. That doesn't work. I turned to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just didn't look right. 1 John chapter 2, first verse. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The one who is the truth. Jesus, it is who he is by very nature. It is who he is, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And there's so many other scriptures I could have brought out. These are just some choice ones. Okay, now, like the first piece of armor, stay here in 1 John. We're going to look at some other verses in just a moment. But like the first piece of armor, the belt of truth, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He who is righteous has taken up residency in us. And his righteousness is our standing before the Father, and we have no other. This is not a complicated task. For the most part, to be righteous means to do what is right, because God said it's right. For a man to be called, or a woman to be called, a righteous man or righteous woman means that they're doing what God said is right. It isn't anything spectacular, nothing magical about it. Like that first belt of truth, because he is my truth, therefore I ought to speak truth. He is my righteousness, therefore I ought to walk in righteousness. Do what is right because he said it's right. Not trying to gain it by being a good little boy, that's not it. But doing what's right. Because I'm a new person. I'm a new guy from the inside out. And I'm wanting to slough off that which has been an anchor to me. It's been problematic to me. It's been poison to me. I want to show you 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him, begotten of him. Look at chapter 3, 1 John, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. Which came first? He is clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, he's doing what's right. And when you observe it, you know who he belongs to. You know he's been born again, a child of God. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Back up to chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk in the same manner as he walked. Okay, what am I seeing in this? The armor of God. Yes, he protects me because he is the truth. And I need to walk in that truth. It is a protection to me. I need to remember that he is my truth and walk truthfully. He is my righteousness. What does a breastplate mean? Guard the vitals, where I live, my passions, my feelings. Between this and my mind, I get in a lot of trouble because, man, I get varied opinions, and you know, stuff comes here and there. It's all over the map sometimes. He wants to guard that with truth to start with. Having put that on, him who is true. Now, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, because he is my righteousness, I am to walk in his righteousness. That means doing what is right because he has declared that it's right. Now, back in Ephesians, I want you to turn there, please. In Ephesians, Paul has covered a lot of ground along this line. And I'd like to look at chapter 4, verse 11. He lays out what God did to the church on this planet. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. We're the saints. Believers are called the saints. It's not just some icon on some corner of some church. Equipping of the saints, that's preparing them for the work of service. That's action to the building up of the body of Christ. As we are equipped and as we are serving, it builds up the body. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, who he is by very nature, God the Son. God who is true, God who is righteous, and there's so much more. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried around by every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. You've put on the belt of truth. Tuck it in. Tighten it up. Is this true? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. See, there's the action on our part. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which each joint supplies. This is a very intimate way of saying, I'm connected to you. I'm connected, and your movement affects me. The bones, the ligaments, all of them put together in our body to function as a body is supposed to, so also the body of Christ is put together by God. When I'm functioning the way I'm supposed to, it helps you function the way you're supposed to. Okay, pretty basic. From whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. You're to be different, and he has begun the work in you to make you different. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness. Been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. He purposely starts with these two pieces of armor. It's just imagery. It pictures to come to mind so you can look at that and say, and learn from it. Make application to yourself from it. The next set of verses, 25, we've already read it again. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. 26, he addresses anger. Anger is a choice that we make in our head and carry around in our emotions, our heart, if you will. The breastplate symbolizes protection of our vitals, the seat of our emotions, our feelings, our passions. And I've got to remember, first of all, wait a minute, I'm dressed in Christ's righteousness. Second of all, there's stuff that I do or don't do that affects that which is in here, where my passions, my feelings, my heart is. Acting right results in bringing that part of us under control, ultimately under God's control. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. 27 is spiritual warfare worded. And do not give the devil an opportunity. If our anger is out of control, anger, it is sin. And it gives the devil, the one that we do battle with, it gives him ground. He's already stated that here. 28. Comes down to basics. Let him who steals steal no longer. Why do we feel guilty when we do that? Because we know it's wrong. Not just wrong because I got caught. Rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to give, to share with the one that has a need. What about my mouth? No unwholesome word proceed from my mouth. Only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's in you, by whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. And here comes a whole wheelbarrow load of stuff that's in here in my vitals. Bitterness. Let all bitterness. Where am I bitter? It's not in my left ankle. You know, it's here. It's in my mind. It's in my very soul, very heart. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. It's reasonable. It only makes sense. But part of the image that he brings in chapter 6, having put on Christ as my righteousness, it only makes sense now that I make choices to do what is right. And here's a list of suggestions. Stop and stop and stop. And take on, put on the new stuff. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. How much? Well, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Okay, the righteousness of Christ. And we come into chapter 5, just in conclusion to the thoughts here. Start at verse 7 with me. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, and you can remember what the context is or go back and read it. Do not be partakers, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here it comes. For the fruit of light, that which it produces, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There we are again. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. There is tightening up that belt of truth. God, is this true? God, is this right? And again ask, God, is this true? God, is this right? It's so easy for us to project what we think somebody else's heart is motivated with. We can project what they say means this when they didn't ever mean that at all. And I know that because you've been a victim of it also. How many times have I been projected on? And it's horrible. God, is this true? God, is this right? Starting with, is it true? That should determine on my action, is it right? Is my motivation right? Is my heart right? When I answer a lie with a lie, what's the good? When I slap the one that slapped me, what's the benefit? It makes me feel good inside because... Really? Is that what it's about? It's a spiritual battle and we're in it constantly. Jesus is my truth. Remember that and go back to it. What is true? Put it on and do it. Jesus is my righteousness, protecting my heart, protecting my will, protecting what goes really sour. Therefore, Lord, help me to be right. Be motivated right. You're my righteousness. You're the one that is true. Okay, having put those on, and I think that's a reminder, remember him. Because outside of him, we have no truthful standing. Outside of him, we have no righteousness. Put on the full armor of God. We haven't come to the end of it. We're just starting out. But it comes down to practical stuff. Are you tracking with me? Okay, interaction, questions or comments. Ron, go ahead.
It talks about put this on in, as you, because you're going to walk. And what popped out to me this morning is the walk's going to happen no matter what, whether you have it on or don't.
Okay.
It's not like put it on before you go to that X-rated movie. The walk is going to happen, so have it on. Be ready.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else?
It's not a very deep question. It's just, I'm looking at verse 9 of Ephesians 5. I'm just curious why it's in parentheses. If that's the function to that.
That's a translator's choice. As if it's another phrase and thought that's just moved in to the middle of that thought. Paul didn't have that tool of a parenthesis, so it's a translation thing. Derek, did you have a thought there too?
I think you said it, but I'm just, kind of the, I don't know, it's the horse before the cart. The idea that you can walk in all kinds of righteous works, and they're not going to bring you to God. It's the other way around. It's God in you, because we don't have it in ourselves. When Christ indwells you, these things will be the signs. These will be the fruits of the Spirit. These will be the outworkings. It doesn't go the other way. And it's going to sound harsh, and people have been talking to me about it later, but I've told people, I don't know how many times, it's like, Mother Teresa, everybody knows what Mother Teresa is, and all the great stuff she does. And I've told people, I said, that's great, but if she doesn't know Jesus, and I think she did, but I don't know, she's not going to be going to heaven, because it doesn't work that way. And people, that is the biggest thing that people get wrong, that I run into. They think, oh, I'm a good person, I do good things.
You've mentioned a name, Mother Teresa. Fill in the blank with whose ever name. No one will be justified before God because of our actions. No one. We've seen that over and over again in the scripture. So you're right. It's God who knows their heart and knows if they know him.
And I don't know if you can speak to, or if this is a bigger question, but...
And by the way, she did a great work. She went to people that no others would go to. For that, I commend. There's other questions and issues, but what's... Okay. Anybody else?
It seems to me that what you're reminding us is, it's not like we have to get up and say, oh, we have to gird our loins with the truth. We have to put on the breastplate. But what we're told to do is stand firm, but recognize, you got this equipment. It's in place. I heard a story about a guy who invented a bulletproof vest. And the guy who was inventing it for said, well, put it on. And he did. And he pulls out a gun and he goes, oh, no, don't shoot me. He says, well, does it work or doesn't it? And there's a sense in which we can be loaded down with this armor, but fearful and hiding out because we don't trust that we have
Thank
to
you.
Work prepared.
Thank you. So today also, first Sunday of the month, is our day that we share the Lord's table together. We share the communion together. And anyone here is welcome to share that with us. It is for the believer in Jesus who knows that Jesus died to pay for his sins. It's not a religious act that makes us righteous. Oh, did we talk about righteousness just recently? There are those that have believed, well, I'm receiving Jesus as I eat this or drink this. No, you're not. Rather, you're eating this bread and drinking this cup because you have trusted Jesus for salvation. That's what it is about.